being a relativist. Love wins, love is love. But we need to know that, no, some relationships are indeed better than others, and the social sciences prove that. And that's why I wrote this book, that marriage matters. And this is the case for why it does matter. This next book, Secure Daughters, Confident Sons, How Parents Guide Their Children into Authentic Masculinity and Femininity, is more relevant to this topic tonight. This is a social science-based case for why male and female are real, why they matter, and what does it mean to be male and female, and not just in Western civilization, but across human experience. And then how do we have mothers and fathers, they're the ones who create the next generation, and the next generation always comes in one of two models, male or female. There is no third option. And how do mothers and fathers, as male and female parents, raise little boys and little girls to become good, healthy, not just humans, but good, healthy men and women? This is what this book is about. And what I really try to do in the book is go beyond stereotypes, empty stereotypes, and look at real human experience. What is it that moms and dads, as sex-distinct parents, bring to the parenting process? And how do they pour that experience into raising good men, good women, out of little boys and girls? So you can get both of these books here at the table. If you want, I would be glad to sign them if you do get them. But tonight, what we're going to talk about is a significant attack that we are seeing today in culture on the idea of male and female. And we are going to talk about transgenderism. And me and my colleagues at Focus and others who deal with this issue, we use that term transgenderism very deliberately because it is an ism. It is a belief system. And it is only a belief system. It is not, and we're going to see this tonight, it is not rooted in any scientific discovery. It is not rooted in any objective nature of male and female and humanity. It is an idea that some people hold about themselves and about others, and they are very, very, very evangelistic about pushing that idea on all of the rest of us and making sure that we bow at the altar of this idea called transgenderism. Now, I do not like to speak in hyperbole. That sounds like conspiracy hyperbole, but it's not. It's absolutely the case. And this is what we're going to look at tonight. Let me kind of tell you, give you just a roadmap of what we're going to do tonight. This session, we're going to go to 7:30, and I'm going to lay out what we're seeing in the problems of transgenderism. And I'm going to demonstrate to you the logical incoherencies of the system itself, how it does not logically cohere, how it contradicts itself at many turns. And I'm not even going to look at all the turns tonight. I'm going to look at two major ones and some other secondary ones. And then we're going to take a break, and then I'm going to come back and we're going to talk about what is God's view of male and female and how defending male and female and teaching the wonder of male and female are not secondary gospel issues. They are primary gospel issues. And you could think, okay, Glenn, what in the world does male and female have to do with the gospel? By 8:30 tonight, and that's where we're going to end, and then we're going to go to Q&A, you will have a good understanding of how these things are related. That the attack upon male and female is an attack upon the gospel of Christ itself, because it's an attack upon God's own story. So if you Think that's a bold claim, hang in there. I'm going to make the case, and you're going to see it all tied together. So let's look at where we are. I give you just a couple of samples here. I just found these on the web. If you type in, how many genders are there? You do not get a definitive answer. And look at this. I love this. These are medical sites, okay? This is a medical site. This is an academic site. This is the BBC. This is ABC News. There are 72 genders. There are 81 genders. There are 58 genders. There are 100 genders. What I love about this is you can't really see it here, but this one by MedicineNet, 72 other genders, there's a medical author, and then it was medically reviewed. Medically reviewed. Yes, there are 72 scientifically proven genders. That's ridiculous. But transgenderism, the ism, the religion, wants us to, oh yes, it's medically proven. It's not medically proven, okay? And not only can they not get their numbers straight, an ever-growing list. The list just keeps growing. We are meant to believe that, yes, I mean, today, you woke up, there were 125 genders. Now we go to bedtime, there's 130 genders. Genders just keep sprouting and flowering and growing. What does that tell us? It tells us there are as many genders as anybody can imagine themselves to be. And I debate this topic. I've debated this topic a lot in college campuses, secular college campuses. The rules are, if I were to stand in front of you today and say, listen, there's a whole other gender, and this gender is me, and I make up some name for it, and I make up some descriptor for it, then that becomes a legitimate new gender. Guess what? When your kids come to you and they're making stuff up, okay, that's either called make-believe play, or we need to take our child to the doctor and, like, get them looked at. But this is what we're seeing. It's literally being made up as we go along. But how do we know there are more than two genders? Well, because there are t-shirts that you can order that say this. And I don't know if you know anything about international t-shirt law, but you cannot print it on a t-shirt if it's not absolutely true. There are more than two genders. And you can buy t-shirts like this online. When you go to buy t-shirts like this online, they explain, gender isn't binary. There are more than two genders. Non-binary identities are real. But look at the options. Huh, only two choices, male or female. See? They cannot keep their story straight. And this is a foolish example, but I want to lay out to you real examples where they cannot keep their story straight. And they cannot keep their story straight because they are making something up, a new belief system that is imaginary. And it does not cohere. This is very important. I was trained as a philosopher. And in philosophy, we have to ask ourselves the question, does the argument that the individual is making cohere? Is it coherent? Not just coherent, does it make sense, but does it hang together? Now, detectives, police detectives, when they have a criminal, they will ask the criminal questions time and time and time and time again. It's not because they don't have good memories. What are they trying to do? They're trying to show that the suspect's story does not cohere. And so we need to, as we engage transgenderism, we need to continually ask real serious questions, and we need to listen carefully to what they say. And when you listen carefully to what they say, you will see their story does not cohere. And this is what we're going to look at in this first session. First of all, okay, so transgenderism is a religion. It is a belief system. It is a dogma. It's not rooted, again, in any science. You're going to hear me say that a good bit tonight. But just as Christians have the Ten Commandments, but then Jesus gave us two basic commandments, love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, love your neighbor as yourself, transgenderism has two great rules, and we're going to look at these tonight. The first one is that the binary is bad. The binary, when I say binary, well, I don't believe in the gender binary. What do I mean by that as an advocate of gender ideology? It means that you who believe that humanity is only a male and female, that's bad. That's the original sin. There's actually a rainbow of genders. That's the new enlightened view. But what we need to understand is that the L, the G, and the B, and the T, up until like the last couple of milliseconds of human history, required the binary. How is this true? Well, let's pretend we're a gender studies class, and I'm your gender studies professor, and I say the first rule of gender ideology is that the binary is bad, okay? Binary is bad. There's a spectrum of genders. Now let's go to the LGBT alphabet soup class, okay? What is the L? Can anybody tell me what the L stands for, please? Oh, look at you guys. You've been in this class before. Okay, so let me explain. This is very sophisticated. A lesbian is a woman who is interested in only women. Okay, so you just heard what I said. The binary is bad. Okay, so professor, only women can be lesbians? What about all the other genders? Can they be lesbians? No, it's just women. Okay, but they're only interested in other women. What about any of the other genders? Nope, just women. How about the genders that they're not interested in? Lesbians are not interested in men. What about the other 35, 70, 100 genders that lesbians are not interested in? Just men. Binary. Right? Same thing with the G's, except it's dudes who like dudes. Okay? Who else do they like? Nobody. It's guys who like guys. Who do they not like? Women. Who else do they not like? Nobody. It's just women. See, the L and the G are inherently binary. Okay, the B, hello, bi is right. The binary is right in the name. Right? And then until the last couple of seconds of the history of transgenderism, it used to be if I introduced you, or if I introduced myself at a gender theory conference and I said, I'm a transgender individual, people would ask me, what kind of transgender am I? And I could answer, I'm an FTM or an MTF. That is female to male or male to female. Those were the only two things. I mean, trans is from here to here. It's not, you know, a trans international call isn't from here to wherever. It's here to here. Transatlantic is from here to a point. It's binary, right? But get this, the Q, the T now has become whatever. And the Q is famously, you cannot find anybody that will give you a clear definition of what the Q means. The Q is kind of like the wild card. When you're playing Uno, the Q is the wild card. It's like, Q is anything I want it to be, which basically means I don't want to give you a definitive answer. I just want to I want to keep things open. It's not a real thing. And in fact, in a way, none of these are real things, as we will see. Let me demonstrate this to you. This was from Good Morning Britain, a morning news show, very popular show in Britain. And just a few years ago, they had a story on the gender debate. And they introduced a non-binary couple. Now, I want us, as students, to be very, very curious people who take our opponents seriously. We are promised to see a non-binary person. Has anybody ever met a non-binary person? No, you haven't. If somebody promises you they're going to introduce you to a non-binary person as a curious individual, you say, yes, please, I want to meet a non-binary person. Well, here are the non-binary people that they are presenting up to us. And it's interesting, two individuals called Fox and Owl. I love that. That's another thing that we're seeing, is we're seeing the imagination move from genders to cross species kind of stuff. You see furries. Make a little note and look up xenopronouns and neopronouns. It's insanity. And these are very, very real things. And the New York Times has done major stories on what xenopronouns and neopronouns are. But here, we've been promised a non-binary couple. Tell me what you see here. A man and a woman. Hello, I want my money back. Okay? Now, gender theorists would say, yes, but you foolish conservative people that are so stuck in your binary. See, this is not a man and a woman. Because this person who you think is a man is not a man. It's a biological woman who identifies as a man. And this seemingly woman is a biological male who identifies as a woman. I think I just got that backwards in my explaining, but you get where I'm going, okay? But again, you guys are so revolutionary. You're so radical. You know, you're promising us non-binary, and all you can give us is male and female that have just simply switched sides. You know, like, again, they rail against the binary, but oftentimes all they can give us is the binary. Do you know why? Because ultimately, the binary is the only story in town. And we're going to see this in just a minute. I want to give you another example of this. This was a meme or a Facebook post that Royal Dutch Airlines put out a number of years ago in celebration of gay pride. And this is an example of how they can't keep their story straight. It doesn't matter who you click with, happy Pride Amsterdam. There were gay activists. I mean, it was fascinating. There were gay activists who said, we need to get our stuff together because we are not making sense. And one of the gay activists said, unless you're buckling up for your next flight heterosexually, your flight's not taking off, right? It does matter who you click with, right? And actually, KLM took this down because they realized, okay, that's kind of stupid. Now, I want to give you some other examples, and these are tweets, very recent, and I'm going to show you, these were just September from last year, and look at this hashtag up here, LGB without the T. LGB without the T is trending. Let's keep it this way. This is a lesbian Twitter user. Sexual attraction has zero to do with gender dysphoria and delusions. This is a lesbian woman saying the gender stuff is a delusion. Think about this. She is a lesbian woman is like, I know what a woman is. I'm a woman. I like other women. I'm pretty clear on that point. Men who dress up as women and come to the lesbian bars and want to chat me up as a lesbian, not interested. But they are called transphobes for this. And this is why she presented this, is the LGB is being attacked by the T and the Q and other, as they say, made up nonsense. But as we're going to see, it's the same-sex marriage proponents that led us in this direction. They do not get to say, okay, we didn't sign off on this trans stuff. You brought us this trans stuff. They just can't recognize this. Next one. I love this Pac-Man image. And again, this is another person highlighting LGB without the T. Because the trans thing, this erasure of any objective meaning of male and female, is gobbling up the rest of the rainbow. Because if you can't define objectively what it means to be male and female, then lesbianism and male homosexuality makes no sense whatsoever. Think about that. And that is what is playing out here. Sasha down here, she says, as a lesbian, I have nothing in common with a movement that claims that men can be lesbians and is so determined to turn mostly gay and autistic kids into lifelong medical patients, and they drag opponents into court regularly. I want nothing to do with this lunacy. The LGBTQ plus community is not a community. It is breaking apart because of disagreements over the binary nature of male and female and what it means to be male and female. I say that constantly. Do not ever refer to the LGBTQ plus community as if it's a thing. These people are fighting like cats and dogs over the definition of what it means to be human. First of all, the L's and the G's, I mean, read the literature. They do not get along with one another. The L's and the G's think the B's are just faking, like pick a side already. And the L's and the G's and the B's, even though they put on a positive face, think the T's are just weird. And then a plus, like what's a plus? Hi, I'm a plus person. And the other thing is, gay activists will tell you, you can't be all these letters together. That's just exhausting. And it's physically impossible. So do not ever speak about the LGBT. And we have Christian pastors. We have Christian leaders who are like, oh, well, we need to respect the feelings of the LGBTQ community. They're demonstrating that they don't even know what the thing is. They don't even respect themselves. They are fighting with each other. And so we need to understand this. And we need to ask the question, how did we get here? I want to be mindful of my time. How did we get here? That is the big, big question. The proposition of the same-sex family challenged the fundamental truth of the reality of male and female. In the early 2000s, in the aughts, Four Folks on the Family, I traveled to college campuses across the country debating the issue of same-sex marriage against same-sex marriage proponents, and I did it at some of the largest universities in the world. And I argued this case. And I want to tell you this story because it lays a foundation for where we are. I wanted to go to the back of what this argument was about, and here's the case that I made. My colleague here tonight is a gay man in a marriage with another man. When we make the proposal that a marriage or a relationship or a family, and be very clear about that, the argument for same-sex marriage was the argument for the same-sex family. Because no activist said, oh, we just want to be married. We don't want to have the right to kids. It was all together. And I said, if we adopt the idea that two men in a marriage, two men in a family, heading a family, or two women in a marriage and two women heading a family are just as good, just as important, just as significant as a man-woman marriage, then we have discounted what it means to be male and female. And guess what? Auditoriums would explode in laughter as if I said something ridiculous. And my opponent would often say, oh my goodness, Mr. Stanton, how in the world does me falling in love with a man say women don't matter? Well, guess what? That is exactly where we have come to. And I want to demonstrate that right here. This is something I found on Instagram. This was posted by these two men, and they were celebrating. We did a, look at this, a maternity shoot. Ladies, let me just ask you, how does that make you proud to be a woman? Okay, and here's the thing, and I have four daughters. I love my daughters. I want my daughters, in fact, today is my oldest daughter's 30th birthday. Like, I want them to be strong, confident, take no prisoners women who do not apologize for being women and make the world better as women. Look at where we have come to. These two men are celebrating the growth of their family. But guess what they do not have? They do not have an egg, and they do not have a womb. So they had to go knocking at the door of heterosexuality and ask a woman, hello, we would like to rent, and we would like to buy an egg from you and rent your womb. Do you want the rest of my marvelous femininity to contribute to the life of your child? No, that's all we need. We are reducing you to your reproductive material. That, folks, is where the women's movement has come to. And look at this. I mean, this outrages me. Why don't you just go stand back there, ma'am? Talk about Handmaid's Tale. This is what we are dealing with. The thing that I said on college campuses that got laughed at, absolutely true today. And in more dramatic form than we could ever see. As we're going to see, trans ideology, same-sex family ideology, is misogyny on steroids. It is the reduction of what it means to be a woman, reduced to its most fundamental form of just mere procreation. Okay, how did we get here? Another way we got here, this woman is Judith Butler. Judith Butler is one of the most, if you take a gender studies class, you're going to read all about Judith Butler. And Judith Butler wrote a book in the early to mid 90s, called Gender Trouble. And she proposes, and she is like Elvis in the room in gender studies. Like, she dominates. And her theory is, and this is a video, you can find it, it's by an organization called Big Think, Judith Butler, your behavior creates your gender. She is explaining her theory in that she believes and holds that gender is merely performative. I mean, that is just, in gender ideology, Judith Butler believes that gender is performative. And here she's saying, gender is being produced all the time and reproduced all the time. So to say gender is performative is to say that nobody really is a gender from the start. So look at what happened. Look at what is happening here. It used to be that, and most of you have this understanding of transgender theory, of I was born a man, but I'm actually objectively a woman. Judith Butler says, no. You're just playing a role. The male and female don't even really exist. in any real sense, so that we can just make it up. And that is exactly why, if you remember the first slides, we can have 72 genders, 100 genders, 80 genders. It's being made up constantly as we live out our lives. And if you don't think that's true, then exhibit A. Dylan Mulvaney is the most famous trans person in the world, and he is playing the role of a woman? No, a girl. His project was my first 100 days as a girl. And he's making these videos, day number two, as a girl, here's what I'm gonna go do. His first video was basically, my first day as a girl, I'm so excited. I wrote an email where I just lashed out at friends, and I don't intend to send the email because I just kind of went crazy. I ordered too much stuff online that I can't pay for, and then some other kind of super stereotypically insulting female thing. This guy is play acting. That is another thing that we need to understand. Trans people today, the individual who is actually debilitatingly gender dysphoric, and really, like, we should have compassion for that individual, and they're just trying to make their life work, is a very rare creature. Most transgender demonstrations are more like this kind of thing. And that's another thing that we're going to talk about. When somebody tells you you're trans, don't believe them. Ask them questions about, what do you mean? Tell me what you mean by that. And listen to what they say. You're going to hear some interesting stories, and it's not going to be typically what you think. Okay, male and female. This is one of the other, the first great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. The second, love your neighbor as yourself. Just as there are in gender theory, the first one is binary is bad. The second is male and female are cultural constructs. That nobody is actually male and female. Cultural construct dictates artificially that men act this way and women act this way. Unless you're trans. And pay attention to this. When Bruce Jenner comes out as Caitlyn Jenner, we had two proclamations. These are just two examples. For a transgender person to step into the world as his or her socially constructed self, no, authentic, real self. The world can now see what Caitlyn Jenner has always known that she is. And always has been a socially constructed woman? No, an objectively real, natural woman. And he himself says, I'm so happy after such a long struggle to be living my true self. And if any one of us say, Caitlyn Jenner is not a woman, Caitlyn Jenner is Bruce Jenner, that is called misgendering somebody, and that is the worst sin that you can commit. So this idea that male and female are just mere cultural constructs, unless you're trans, no, then you're a real objective woman or man that everybody must recognize. That is turning reality on its head, and that is the clear definition of, and I don't say this lightly, insanity. Right? But get this. We are told our genitals do not define our gender. When I was debating this issue on college campuses all over and still today, I'm told, Mr. Sten, you conflate sex and gender. You're making a fundamental mistake. Sex and gender are not the same things. And we're going to look at this a little more closely in a bit. Sex, they would tell me with this cute little statement, sex is what's between your legs. That's not truly who you are. Gender is what's between your ears, what you assume yourself to be. So, we are told that genitals do not define our gender, but if you're a legislator or if you're a teacher and you try to stand in somebody's way of cutting off perfectly healthy genitalia in order to come in line with what their mind says, you are denying people what they call life-giving medical care. So on one side they say, oh, genitals don't matter. They don't dictate what you are. But on the trans side, you had better not get in front of anybody trying to change their genitals to what they actually are, but not actually are. See, and that's the point. You can't have it both ways. Either male and female are real or they're not real. But transgenderism says they're only real if you deny biology. That is remarkable. Even the American Psychiatric Association tells us that transgender is a non-medical term. Nobody is truly transgender. There is no scientist in the world who observes somebody and says, okay, we've looked at some objective indicators, and this is a transgender or a non-binary person. Those things exist in the mind and the proclamation of the person. They are not academically, intellectually, scientifically backed up. So we must ask, where is truth found? Is it found in God or is it found in nature? And we as Christians need to ask this question. Let me ask you this. As Christians, how many of you think truth is found in God? Raise your hand. Okay? How many of you then believe truth is found in nature? Okay? Good. Very, very good. Why? How can it be both? Right? But we as Christians many times separate those things out. You know what? I stand against transgenderism because of my Christian faith. Yes. But I stand against transgenderism because I believe in reality. Right? I believe in nature. What does it mean to be human? And I want to read something to you. And this is us going to nature. And I want to share with you a quote from a woman named Sylviane Agacinski, who wrote a book all the way back in 2001 called The Parody of the Sexes. Not parody, that's what's happening today, but parity, the difference of the sexes. And I want to read to you, she is a radical French feminist, but she understands reality, and she says this: one is born a boy or a girl, one becomes a man or a woman. The human species is divided in two, and like most other species only, in two. There is no third possibility. That is, humankind does not exist outside this double form of masculine and feminine. She is one of these progressives that says transgenderism is lunacy. The only two stories in town are male and female. And it's not just true in the Western world, it's true across human experience. So, we need to be very clear and very confident that non-binary is not a thing. Non-binary is not a thing. Nobody is non-binary. It is a made-up concept. There are not many genders. There are male and female, and there are many ways to be male and female. But we can still talk objectively. Every male and every female here, you're different than the female next to you in a little bit of a way. But we can still speak objectively about what it means to be female. Gender identity is not real, and trans is not a thing. I want to read you another quote. This is a book that I'm really big on. It is called The Abolition of Sex It's a simple little book by a woman named Kara Danski. Kara Danski, I want to read to you what she says. She says, here's the truth that we cannot speak. And you may have seen Kara Danski probably a year and a half ago to 2 years on Tucker Carlson. She was on Tucker Carlson's show a couple of times. And she is not an individual who would normally be on the Tucker Carlson show, as you'll see in just a minute. She says, here is the truth we cannot speak. Gender identity, and she has it in scare quotes. She always, whenever she says the word gender identity, she puts her fingers up because she wants us to know it's not a real thing. Gender identity does not exist in any real material sense. And transgender is simply a made-up concept that is used to justify all kinds of atrocities. It is, in effect, a men's rights movement intended to objectify women's bodies and erase us as a class. It is left-wing misogyny on steroids. I say this, she says, I say this as a leftist and a Democrat. Famed author J.K. Rowling recently said that we are living in one of the most misogynistic times in recent history. And that misogyny is not rooted in Christianity. That misogyny is rooted in transgenderism. Okay, we're coming to the close here. We used to think that the gay and lesbian debate was about how you were born. I was born this way. That has shifted. Now it's not about how you're born or what you're born as. It's what I believe myself to be. And a scholar, Eric Kaufman, at the University of London, he wrote this paper just last year, Born This Way? The rise of LGBT, not as a practice, but as a social and political identity. And he says this, when we look at homosexual behavior, we find that it has grown much less rapidly than LGBT identification. You have people who like, I'm a woman, I like men, I identify as a woman, but I also identify as LGBT. Like, you've adopted none of the things of LGBT, but you're just flying that flag. Because it is a political identity. It is a political identity that it is advantageous for young people to adopt, because guess what? You get celebrated at every turn. But it is not working out for them. This was an article in The Atlantic last year on why American teens are so sad, the percentage of high school students feeling persistently sad and hopeless. Look at this off-the-charts line up here. Okay, and now we would be told, yes, these kids are unhappy. These kids are unhappy because they are not being embraced. They are not being welcomed. They are not being celebrated. Well, you're wrong, because look at this. 2015, when loving everything LGBT started, that unhappiness started skyrocketing. It is not getting better for these kids. The false promise of, let's just support these kids in their delusion, is going to make them happier and keep them from taking their own lives. It's not true. It's not true anywhere in the world. Even in the most progressive cultures in the world, of Denmark, Scandinavia, the Netherlands, San Francisco, anywhere. If LGBT is anything, it is this: a wholly subjective self-declaration that I, the autonomous individual, am set on challenging universal sexual norms in dramatic ways. That's what this comes down to. This revelation operates on intimidation, on confusion, and the exploitation of false compassion. Intimidation in that if you don't put pronouns in your email thing at work, you can lose your job. If you do not use the proper pronouns in a family situation, I will never talk to you again, and you will not have access to your son and your daughter. Intimidation, confusion. You think I'm this, I'm actually this, and I could change that tomorrow, and you have to go along with whatever I say. And it's the exploitation of false compassion. The other side is using our fundamental conviction as Christians to be compassionate to other people against us. Oh, you can't object to this. You can't reject this idea because this is being inconsiderate to people who are made in God's image. And they're right, but they're using a false definition of compassion to beat us into submission to say, oh yes, okay, I'm sorry. No, we have to be able to walk and chew gum and say, we affirm individuals, but we are not going to play this game. You are not the female that you think you are. We cannot redefine female to be anything you think it is. Female has an objective meaning. Male has an objective meaning. And the way that we combat this is to do something that the great Soviet dissident, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, told his countrymen before he was exiled from the Soviet Union in 1974. Live not by lies. Refuse to participate in the lies that you know are lies. And speak truth boldly. We're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we're going to look at why this issue of male and female are fundamental to the gospel itself.
We're just getting started. We're going to take a break in a minute. I've got a couple of things I want to share to you.